Podcast.
I am one of the few people who think the Patriots are actually going to be really good this year.
Let's go!
Oh, God.
It's me. It's Kevin Wiles.
What a shocker. Surprise.
All right, welcome in to another edition of the R Bill Simmons podcast. It's been a busy week in Bill Simmons land. He's going viral on Twitter for his insane overreactionary takes that are backfiring in his face almost immediately. We're going to get to that in a second. But first, I'm going to introduce my guest for the show tonight, who you should know because he did the intro music that you just heard, which everybody loves. Everybody has said, Tribe, you nailed it. You have amazing music. I love hearing it. And so had to bring him on. We've been talking about this for a while. I'm so glad we figured it out. So Ryan from Wiser Times, first, thanks for coming on. And second, man, thank you for that incredible intro. People are absolutely loving it.
Oh, thank you, Tribe, so much. I'm so happy to be here. Honestly, I was really excited to work with you guys and all that. I just had been seeing you guys on Twitter for a bit. And as I was telling you before the pod, music and sports, not a lot of crossover. So it's like two subsects for me. So it was like, you know, on my free time, I do listen to the Bill Simmons podcast and a lot of Ringer content. So it was like nice to see a community I could, you know, engage with and, you know, sometimes have some similar views because some of the stuff can be a little suspect, some of his takes.
Yes, and that's exactly what we're going to dive into first here. So, like I said in the intro, just an incredible amount of takes by Bill are just immediately going against him. And specifically, one of the best ones out there was the Denver Nuggets take, where he starts the beginning of the playoffs, they sweep the Lakers, and Bill is jumping ahead. He's like, man, I think the Denver Nuggets are the third best team of the 21st century. He's assuming they're going to win the championship. They're going to be favored against the Celtics. Jokic is already top 10, maybe even top 7, whatever. And then two games later, completely flips. Now, I had the audio for that. So then when the Denver Nuggets won the two, we went back and listened to his insane fan fiction on Anthony Edwards. I think my favorite part of that was he's like, you know, he's gonna be on SNL. He's gonna be that big. It's like, all right, Bill, we get it. We get you're going way out in the future. But so what did you think about that? So this is for the listeners out there, this is the Bill Simmons current events section. We're gonna get into a few other topics later. But yeah, what's going on with Bill these days?
So I'm gonna put my biases aside. I'm actually like a big Nuggets fan. So I've only been listening to the NBA for I'm Canadian, by the way. I'm from Montreal, Canada. But so when the Raptors won, that got me into it in the whole Kawhi saga. But I got to like pick my team, and I picked the Nuggets during the bubble run because I really like Jokic and Jamal Murray's from Toronto. And so I've been following the Nuggets a lot. And, you know, Bill's like hyping them up. I'm like, hell yeah, this is great. And it was just like they lost two games and suddenly it was like over, done, finished. And it was very surprising to see such a quick turnaround and change. Cause you know, you'd assume if you're hyping up somebody and you're really pushing their, you know, how great they are, you'd be willing to back them once they have a bit of adversity. Like, you know, how many teams, what the best team is the 16-1. Is it Golden Warriors from like 2017? And they lost, like, you know, it's no one goes undefeated in the playoffs. They were bound to lose some games at some point. So I just found the turnaround. And then now it's like, it's 2-2. It's a series. They're playing tonight or tomorrow. And it should be, you know, good chance the Nuggets win it or it goes to 7 at least.
Yeah. By the time the listeners are hearing this, we're recording this right before the Nuggets play on Tuesday night. But yeah, and I had a tweet from 3 weeks ago now, and you know, some people gave me shit for it because I had a picture of Bill Simmons and I put fraud over it. And I'm like, Bill Simmons, this is NBA playoffs time where we get overreactionary Bill, and whoever won the last game of the series, Bill thinks they're going to sweep and win the series. And I have been completely vindicated. I mean, I've been listening to Bill for, you know, 20 years now almost, right, since the podcast started in 2007. He wasn't always like this, but certainly the last few postseasons, he has been like this. I will go back to when Miami was up 3-0 on the Celtics last year. I mean, this guy was freaking out, and he was cussing out the Celtics and just totally hanging his head in shame. And then, of course, when they started winning, then he completely flips it. So we know this. We know he overreacts. But it's just so funny to see it, probably the most intense that it has ever been in 2024. And then I loved the fact that, you know, Bill and Russillo, who we're going to talk to Russillo, talk about Russillo, because as you mentioned earlier before we recorded, you actually listen to Russillo more than you do with Bill, which I find a lot of people coming on this pod and a lot of people I interact with do now, which is interesting. So we'll get into that. But Bill and Russillo, they like how they're like, yeah, like Ant's our guy. Like they always say Ant too. They're like Ant's our guy. Like we love this guy. Like we're in on Ant. You guys actually weren't. You guys actually weren't in on Ant. And Bill, you would have picked Ant fourth in 2020, and you would have picked Wiseman over him. So I love how Bill has the takes, but it's not only the takes that do it for him. The reason these go viral, I think, is because it's the takes mixed with the arrogance, and you throw those two together, and it's like it's a recipe for people just blasting this all over the subreddit, all over Twitter, and just loving the fact that Bill is wrong and all this stuff.
Yeah, though I kind of feel like he's just never, like, he still has the energy of like a guy at a bar who has like really hot takes. He's like, let me tell you what I think. And it's just like, you got, you know, how much is he making now? Hundreds of millions or whatever. And it's like, you know, you kind of have a broader audience. You kind of, you either have to tone down the takes, or you got to live with the fact that you're just going to have like a bunch of wild ones, you know? And though the one I did like was the Paul George one was like, can I swear on this, or is it?
Oh, absolutely! Yes,
it's fucking hilarious. Like the cat one. I just that was all over my Twitter account or X, and I was dying. Like I was like, oh, now I understand, because I've only been listening to Bill Simmons for like 3 or 4 years right now, so I've like caught the tail end of the pod fodder's, like, you know, supposed peak.
Yeah, you that's so funny to hear that. So you've been listening to him. Yeah, so you basically started listening to him when I really started toning it down, which is funny. Yeah, so those are funny too. I mean, Bill, there was a post in the subreddit today which I loved, where somebody was saying how he's now being sent the tweets that I'm tweeting out from this account, and there, it's not even people on the subreddit. It's like the Wingstop commercial, which, okay, actually, so here's a question for you.
Yeah.
As a musician, how are you rating this Wingstop commercial? Because I fucking can't stand it, and I think I'm not alone. I think 95% of people can't either.
I don't know. I haven't seen it. Like, honestly, we don't have Wingstop here. Like, so I'll give a little background. Because I'm from the French part of Canada, like, anything here has to be either French or English, like, the name. So I, like, a lot of American brands, I do not get. So, like, what is the Wingstop commercial?
Oh, it's the one, the No Flex Zone, where Bill then put his own audio. Well, Bill had his own audio of what he thought was happening, made sounds of it, and then somebody edited that into the actual commercial, went viral on the sub. I tweeted it out on the Twitter, and it went viral on Twitter.
All right, I'm going to need to check this out after the pod. I'm excited to look at it.
Yeah, I'm just curious because, like, there's so many bad commercials these days, and I would think that they would have a better song for that, but who the hell knows? So, all right, yeah. Let's click into your fanhood with Bill, and I believe you became a fan of Bill after you became a fan of other Ringer content, correct?
Yeah, so I'm 24, So as I was telling you, Tribe, before the pod, YouTube generation, like I remember in my childhood, I had people who were like in fifth or sixth grade, like a kid had a YouTube channel. And so I was like, wow. Oh my God, that's cool. So I've been in, you know, watching YouTube since over half my life now. And so I was big hockey guy. So I was watching sports stuff. And then I saw NBA desktop with, I think, Jason Concepcion. And I was like, oh, this is really cool. Then I actually got into the Mismatch, which I listened for a bit. And then it brought me over into the Bill Simmons stuff. And I got in, like, I think right around COVID. Because I remember watching the Last Dance podcasts and all the redraftables. So I started listening, like, right beforehand. So I kind of come in from, like, a different part. Like, I didn't know Grantland. I didn't know, Page Two until I started doing, like, you know, looked him up on YouTube and stuff. And I was like, oh, this guy had, like, sorry, he worked with Magic Johnson and he worked with Jalen Rose and all these people. So, yeah, I came in like kind of through a different door than I assume most people did.
Now, are you still following Jason Concepcion's career? Are you still listening to his content?
Yeah. I actually just saw he has I found out a couple weeks ago, I did a podcast with Shea Serrano. Cause I like him also because he writes about hip hop and that's one of the genres I make music in and all that. So I started listening to it. I like it. I find his stuff good. I liked his content really at The Ringer. And right after he left The Ringer, he did this. It was like a podcast with a WNBA star. I forget her name.
Oh, that's like, from the Bell. Yes.
I found his content really well done. Like you, and I still enjoy it to this day.
So then why do you think it didn't work out with Bill The Ringer then?
Probably money, like most things, you know, like
Spotify. That is what people think. Yeah.
Well, like, let's be honest. I can speak as an artist. Spotify doesn't pay shit. I'm not, you know, saying anything new, but like, I assume they're like that in most of their things. So I'm sure, you know, he probably like being independent, doing his own podcast, he can get his own sponsorships. He can get his own, you know, endorsements. He doesn't have to have a boss above him. He's his own boss, you know?
Yeah, and you liked so NBA Desktop's interesting because this is a Ringer venture into video that was very popular, and I want you to go into a little bit about why you liked it so much, because then I want to transition a little bit to this whole concept of the Ringer having not taken video seriously until this year. Whereas the contrast is you're now telling me that in fifth grade, you had friends who had a YouTube channel. So unbelievable, which we're going to get into. But yeah, maybe let's start with like why was NBA Desktop such a good YouTube show?
I think it was just the way they analyzed the content and kind of the humor. And it's, you know, humor, internet humor and memes and stuff. And, you know, my generation loves that stuff. So I really enjoyed that. And then the other stuff I liked was the JJ Redick podcast with like Jimmy Butler, because that was coming out right when they were in the bubble and all that. When JJ was doing pods for the Ringer, so
yeah,
like
those went fucking viral.
Yeah, that's NBA Desktop, and that was like how I really got into it, was the video content, because like I'm not on TikTok. I'm not a big real person. Sometimes on YouTube, but like mostly I like watching long form videos to put on the background, you know, watch some stuff. And so I found this and I found it really interesting. I like, you know, hearing Jimmy Butler talk and JJ Redick, especially what was happening in the bubble. It was kind of cool to have like this insight. So I really got into that. And then I, you know, at that point, The Ringer had one YouTube channel for everything, unlike what they just did recently, which was like have everyone have their own YouTube channel. So I was like clicking through their YouTube videos, and that's how I got into Bill, was like finding, I think he'd put out like a YouTube video probably with like Rosillo or something.
Interesting. So I love hearing that, because that it immediately proves that they should be taking video seriously.
Oh, okay.
Because you got into it from YouTube. So yes, I know Bill's at Spotify, and I know that they had Joe Rogan on, right? And then when Joe Rogan was exclusive to Spotify, he wasn't on YouTube. But clearly in 2024, Rogan re-ups with them and they put everything on YouTube again. So I don't know why it took Spotify this long to figure this out. I'm not sure why it took Bill so long to figure it out, but they have at least figured out that they need to be on YouTube. And this is something that we kind of wanted to talk about. Like, I'm wondering why they didn't embrace YouTube, especially because NBA Desktop was such a successful show for them? Like, why do you think it took them until 2024?
I honestly don't know 100%, but maybe it has something to do with just like the people at Spotify not being like as aware. Like, because I know Spotify is very much like the enemy here, but like what they're trying to do is kind of make everything just Spotify's it, like no competition. So they were, I think their move was like, well, if we can just get people to come to our thing and like take out everyone else. But you know, everyone has their preferences. Some people like going on YouTube, and especially like I like putting up something and having some visuals, you know, like it's nice to like see some people talking and, you know, you get to see the mannerisms and all that. And yeah, no, it's strange. It's strange. Cause like that guy, wasn't he at the, like the forefront of like cutting edge with podcasting and everything. And you'd think he would maybe, you know, look to YouTube and be like, oh, another thing that's like at the forefront. It's just podcasting with a bloody camera, you know?
Yeah. And the irony to that is that so he had the Any Given Wednesday HBO show,
yeah,
which was a podcast on video. So the irony here is that Bill, when given the opportunity to have an HBO show, I mean, HBO, Bill wrote about them glowingly for years. I mean, I think he dreamed about working at HBO almost his entire life from when he was a kid, first watching those shows that he liked. So for him to bet the house on essentially doing his podcast on video, maybe it didn't work and that's why I didn't go back to it. But at the very least, he could have changed a little bit and sort of said, okay, I now know that I need to do more into video, and he just didn't do it. Now, you had mentioned how you're growing up in the YouTube generation, and then you've got a younger sister as well who, you know, probably is even watching more. So, and I know, I've had Zach on the pod who, he's the guy that two episodes now, he's broken down essentially what the Ringer's doing wrong in video and what they need to do to improve. And they've already done some of it, but can you give us a little background? Cause like for the listeners out there, I'm in my early 30s. Actually, the majority of the listeners out there are in their 30s. That's what I get in the Spotify age. So, yeah, how are people consuming video in your age, which is mid-20s, and then your sister, which is around 20?
It's like reels. It's like super short-form content. And as an artist, I hate doing this. I hate the social media. And like, but it's so important. It's insane. Like one of my good friends is a photographer, and he's working with like a TikToker who has like 500,000 people, and he's just the amount of like attention and the younger generation who are focused on that. It's insane. Like it's like this little like these little like short form contents, you know, you can go and it's like in 60 seconds you can get somebody's fandom, you know, which I think is like something new. You know, like, you know, with podcasting, you have to like if you clip a good take from a podcast and edit it really well, like it catches the attention. I don't know. Do you have you listened to Julian Edelman's podcast?
I have. And I know exactly the videos you're talking about.
Super well done. Super well done. Like it literally makes you go like, oh, I want to go watch the interview and like, you know, see what's up. And it's this short form content is so dominant. It's so dominant. Like, do you remember Vine?
I do.
I wasn't a Vine person, but I remember that. And it was like this like 6 second. You're like, and then it hopscotch into what TikTok is and YouTube Shorts, and every medium really has its real TikTok format. But that's like the main thing. And I don't know the statistics on it, but if I'm correct, I know my generation and younger, like ADHD and ADD are at higher rates than they were previously.
Sure.
So like, this short form content is really how you grab the people's attention. Like if I'm correct, Bill talks about his kid who does not watch NBA basketball because it's like too boring. You know?
Yeah, I want to get into that because and to take a break for a second for the listeners out there, because I actually someone was asking me about this today in the subreddit, like what is this podcast actually about? We talk about sports media, we talk about media, we talk about society at large. We don't only have to talk about Bill Simmons. We're we're often using Bill Simmons as a lens through which we can view 2024 society. So it's about Bill Simmons, but it's also not about Bill Simmons. But anyway, back to the programming here. So you bring up Ben Simmons, Bill's son, not watching NBA. And I was thinking about this when you were just talking. What do you think of the long-term outlook is for this longer form content among people that are your age or younger? And specifically, I'm mentioning both sports, which it looks like the NBA is going to sign this massive deal. So we'll see if people are still watching in 10 years. And also long form TV shows and movies, because you've got Netflix is doing really well as a streaming company. They're making boatloads of cash. They're financially successful. They've got, I think, 80 million subscribers in the US. So they're crushing it. But no one beyond Netflix is actually doing well and making any money in streaming. So I'm looking at it going, you know, maybe they can get there one day. But if there's less demand for long form content, you're going to have less people watching the Netflix kind of shows, less people going to movies and spending money on box office and theaters, and less people watching sports games. And so if you throw all that together, maybe the outlook for these media companies and the owners of the IP aren't as positive as they once were. So I know that's a lot to unpack, but I'm curious your perspective, both being younger and having the younger sibling.
Yeah. So the weird, so to bring it a bit into sports, I find basketball like so riveting and so interesting to watch, because I'm big hockey person, love hockey. Hockey's my sport. And hockey, like playoffs are happening right now, and you'll watch and it's like there'll be three goals in the whole game and I'm still riveted. So I watch basketball and I'm like, oh my God, there's so much happening. Every 24 seconds, there's a shot, you know? So it's really interesting to see like this. They have this issue of like not, you know, keeping people's attention when I'm like every 24, like literally in every real time, there's a shot happening at least, you know? So with, I think maybe basketball is just like the marketing. Everyone talks about there's no big American stars, but you know, that probably does have an effect. Like if I'm correct, the NBA is doing really good abroad. In Europe, I think they're doing good. If I'm wrong, let me know. But, you know, because it's like they have stars out there. You know, the Ant worshipping, it's because he's the American star. Ja Morant isn't the star because, you know, he.
Yeah, but to interrupt you for a second, then I'll let you go back.
No problem.
To me, that shouldn't even matter, because like everybody loves Otani as the biggest MLB star. He's from Japan.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah. And so I think that's just an excuse that people like Bill Simmons are talking about. I don't think that has a problem at all. But yeah, back to what you were saying.
Yeah, no, actually, I honestly think you're probably right there. Like, you know, Shea's Canadian, so, you know, go Shea. But and then with my like sister. So my sister actually just got into hockey, like literally the last couple weeks, because we had a sports pool. And me, my sister, and my dad are involved with some friends and all that. So we're doing this. And she just started watching hockey. Loves it. Loves it. Finds it super riveting. But then I talk to other people and it's like, you know, well, I can watch a TV show in that time. Or, you know, like you're vying, you know, we all have 24 hours in the day, and you're vying for what can I fit in those 24 hours? And do you want to spend that 2.5 hours watching an NBA game, when in that time I can go consume 180 TikToks, sorry, like 120, 130 TikToks, if not more.
And so now it's like, yeah, are people doing both the NBA and the TikTok at the same time?
Definitely. That's for sure. But yeah, it's also the thing of like, well, I can just watch the highlights, you know, like I'm guilty of that. I won't watch games because I'm working or I'm making music. I can't like access the game. So I'll watch the highlights. And for this generation who can't focus for 2.5 hours or doesn't want to spend 2.5 hours watching something, well, I'll just watch the highlights, you know? But then it's like,
yeah,
what's your fandom? If everyone's just watching highlights, no one's watching the game, you know?
Yeah, it's a really interesting thought, because, like, look, we all know that the NBA, they are an incredibly popular online media product. I mean, I like NBA Twitter is a real thing. People are on there. I mean, I notice it. Like, I'm actually not a big NBA guy. I watch NBA in the playoffs, and frankly, I'm getting more into it running this account and listening to Bill. But I do not really watch that much NBA in the regular season. I can't get up for it. Like, I have my favorite players here and there, but I don't do. I do like the playoffs because the games really mean something, which obviously I like. I think, you know, same thing with MLB in the playoffs, right? Like, for me, MLB and NBA, I'm mostly like a playoff watcher. For the NFL, I'm actually watching the games. But what's interesting to me is that, like, if you compare the MLB and the NBA, like, there's no contest. The NBA is so gets better ratings and gets significantly more online presence. But yet, I think the NBA has more online presence than the NFL even. But then when you look at a regular season, or even I won't even use regular season. I saw some reports on Mother's Day. NBA playoff games got about 5.5 million viewers on Sunday. So great. Like, that's solid. That's really good. I think the regular season games, they're more like 1.5, 2 million a game. The NFL regular season is 20-25 million a game. So there's this huge disparity between the NFL is extremely popular in general, but the NBA is much more popular online. And through proxy of that, it has it's a higher percentage of the younger fan base. So you could look at it a couple ways, because in one way you would say they do have the younger fans and we want younger fans because they're going to grow into older fans. They have a longer life left. The marketers like them. The marketers want 18 to 34 year old males, basically, is what they want. But then on the other hand, you could say, well, the reason the NBA is not getting the ratings that the NFL is because they do have the younger fans, which are only consuming the product or a lot of the times they're only consuming a lot of the product on TikTok, on Twitter and whatnot. So it's a really interesting, I'm not going to say problem to solve, because a problem is implying is too much negativity. So it's not a problem, but it's an interesting thing for the NBA to have to consider in this next deal is, are there certain ways they can say, like, if you want a highlight package, you have to pay a little bit for that. Or can you buy something that you can watch the fourth quarter of games? Like, there's got to be something that they can do to appeal to the crowd that, like, a Ben Simmons that doesn't want to watch the full game, but maybe they want to watch half an hour. So am I being too out there in this, or maybe there are some things they can do?
I think it's just the 82 game format. Like, there's 16 games in the NFL. Like, every game is so important. Dude, I can miss 20 games of an NBA season, and there's barely a change in the standings. You know, like, you miss 3 weeks of NFL, everything's changed. You know, like, so the importance of each game is just not there. So I think it's harder to sell, hey, come watch Tuesday night. It's Utah versus Washington. You know, like, I just think it's the lack of importance. And it's also, hey, I have to spend 2.5 hours every Sunday watching. That's all I'm asked for. Where with the NBA, it's, hey, you got to spend 2.5 hours like 3-4 times a week. And you're going to have to watch games where the stars don't play. You know, it's a random Tuesday night. Guys aren't trying. So it's like, and I think it's also a perception with fans is how hard NBA players are really, like, willing to put it on the line. Like, as an NHL fan, you know, it's the playoffs right now and the playoffs end and it's like literally like a morgue report. It's like, this guy had a broken leg. This guy had, you know, pulled hamstring, you know, just the amount of injuries. So I think it's like the perception of the sport of basketball. You know, I can miss games. I can miss watching a game if the players can miss playing a game, you know?
Couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more. And I think that's part of the reason why. And then look, if we're talking attention spans, so the NFL has Sunday, and Sunday is frankly a great day for this because not a lot happens on Sundays.
Yeah, it's
a lazy day. I'm gonna say this on the pod, but one of my friends who does listen to Bill Simmons hasn't mentioned that he listens to this podcast yet, but maybe one day. But His saying was always that he's like Sundays for masturbation, and he didn't mean specifically what people think that means. It's like for the mind. It's like you relax. It's for yourself. You're not really trying to do too much on that day because you have a tough work week ahead of you, most likely. So the phrasing there, you know, being that it's kind of a lazy day, right? That maybe that's the easier way to say it. So So the NFL having Sundays as the place to be to watch this, it's incredible. It's really smart. And I think the NBA is looking at that and going like, okay, well, I want to get some of that action. I think that we can be somewhat similar to the NFL in this regard. So maybe let's do some Sunday stuff. But at least with the NFL, it's like it's only one day a week. Yes, it's Monday night. Yes, it's Thursday night, what have you. But like we know that it's very easy to follow your team.
Yeah.
Your fantasy team, your own personal team, you can do that. The NBA is all over the place. Is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? Is it Wednesday? Is it Thursday? Like, so I would not mind if I were the NBA, I would go maybe, I'm like, let's only play Tuesday, Thursday, and Sundays or whatever it would be. Like, only play there because it's much harder for the fan to get into a habit and actually start watching this stuff as compared to in 2024, like we talked about earlier, there's so much else going on in media. There's so much other stuff to watch. So to get a consumer into a habit of watching these games, that's really difficult to do. And I think MLB, you could argue maybe they're doing it to an extent, but 162 is just way too much. Every night's way too much. A couple times a week is reasonable as a hobby for watching a sports team, but it's not the same day every week, so we don't even know it. So that's kind of where I think the NBA maybe could do a little bit of a better job in terms of actually making the product a little bit more accessible to fans in 2024.
Yeah, I see. I don't know if you remember Bill's take of like it should be 72 games.
I do, yeah.
I kind of agree with that because I'm just like, I don't know. My other thing is, I watch hockey again. I'll probably bring it up like four more times. But hockey, the last team makes it into the playoffs, they have a chance of winning the Stanley Cups. Like my dear Montreal Canadiens, who I love so much, were the last team to make it to the playoffs out of any team in the league in 2021, and they went to the finals. So it's like, I will watch a lot of hockey because I'm like, if my team makes it, I got a shot. The Knicks have made it as an 8 seed. The Heat made it. And a fifth seed has won it. That's the deepest it's happened. Is a fifth or sixth seed was the 95 Rockets. So it's like, I just think it's also this thing of like, well, my team's out of it. Like, cool, I get a play-in game. I'll maybe watch the play-in game, but I'm not winning anything. You know? Like, your playoffs are kind of predetermined. Your best teams are usually going to win. You know? I can get away, like, honestly, I could get away with not watching the Nuggets and the Lakers because I knew the Nuggets were going to win. You know? Even baseball or football. You're watching that playoff game. I don't even follow football really a lot, but when it's playoff time, I'm watching because it's like, oh, crap, I don't know. I remember when I watched the Jags beat the Chargers with that complete meltdown that they had.
Yeah.
Like, you got to watch. There's one game, baseball. You watch the wild cards or the DS. Sometimes it's very rarely that the best team wins. Like, if the quote-unquote Dodgers existed in the in the NBA, they would win the title most years. So I that's what I think is also an issue. It's like the lack of, like, not parity, but because it's such a star-driven league, like, individually, that if you don't have a top 7 player, top 8, top 5, whatever the list is you want to go by, you're not winning a title. You know, it's, so I think it's also hard to keep like people interested because you can kind of like, you know, why am I going to spend 82 games watching something if I, like, you know, by game 50, my team's out of it or we're in the play-in, like, cool. I get one play-in game where we get our ass kicked or we win and then get swept as an 8 seed.
Yeah, exactly. It's not it's not worth the investment. I totally agree. All right. So I want to talk NHL and I want to give you the floor. So basically you think, or basically Bill's not covering enough NHL for you. Is that right?
The whole Ringer thing. Like I when they brought up Matt Rempe, like on a pod in like a couple months ago, that's if, I don't know if you follow hockey, but there was this guy for the Rangers, 6'8", like 21, massive, fighting anybody that like moves, you know, basically has gotten like, I think it was like six fighting fights in his first 14 games. And that got brought up. And I was like, oh my God, NHL content got brought up. And so I just don't, there's no podcast. If someone knows a Ringer podcast that they do, show me it. But I haven't seen any content to do with the NHL. I don't know if you follow Pat McAfee.
Yeah, absolutely.
But Pat McAfee has his Hockey is Awesome segment where it's like, you know, a guy blocks a shot, breaks, like that guy for the team I follow, the Habs, blocked his shot, blade broke on his skate, blocked the shot again, broke his hand, and then went to block a third shot. You know, and he goes and he shows that clip. He's like, you know, or he'll show a lacrosse goal where the player picks up the puck and scoops it and like kind of lacrosses it into the net. He'll show that. And I hear it very so sparingly. Like I only hear it either when Bill Russillo brings it up or if Bill's dad brings it up. Outside of that, like the NHL is non-existent.
So you were not the only one who has thought this. As you were talking, I searched the Ringer Hockey Podcast and nothing came up because I don't believe they have one. But people online, there's somebody that posted in R the Ringer, which I wasn't even aware was active. I don't really think it is, but it came up. But they said, it's starting to legitimately offend me that the Ringer does not have a hockey podcast. And the title is, Why Does the Ringer Hate Hockey? So I think you brought up a good point here that it doesn't even need to be Bill Simmons necessarily. It just needs to be the Ringer. Why do they not have a hockey podcast? I don't know. And I think this is related to the Mark Titus piece, because Mark Titus left the Ringer in large part, well, to money too, but in large part because the site didn't care about college basketball. So we have the situation where Bill is molding the site into what he would like to consume, which is NBA and pop culture, as opposed to presumably what would be best for the audience, which would include NHL because it is one of the major sports. So yeah. I feel like Bill's missing an opportunity here.
Yeah, though to be fair, the NHL is like in popularity nowhere near the MLB and the NFL. Like as a diehard hockey fan, I realize my sport is broken. You want to complain about NBA refereeing? Go watch hockey right now. It's a bloody shit show. Like reffing it's so frustrating. But you know, it's like you come to Canada, it's literally like diehard. Like my friend came here from Egypt, so I had to like explain to him, like in my city, the Montreal Canadiens are gods. Like it's taught as a religious class in a university here. Like the Montreal Canadiens as a religion. Our hockey players have like all these religious religious names for players. So it's super diehard here. And I'm like, you know, it would be nice even if it was just a podcast once a week where it's like, here's what happened in the NHL. I noticed a bunch of other smaller networks that really consume that, but he has such a broad audience. You know, it could bring new people to the game, or it could just, you know, help bring more people to his site. Cause I don't know how many, you know, people who really hardcore consume hockey are aware of Bill Simmons through NFL or NBA stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's a great point. And I mean, you got into Bill Simmons, not through himself, you through somebody else doing a different show. Yeah. The thing that I think is, I talk about this a lot in the pod, but I think it fits in here, is that I always question, you know, why can't Bill use his platform to better promote people on the Ringer? Meaning that doesn't need to dedicate a ton of resources to it. Could even do it. I think somebody mentioned Katie Baker. She wrote for Grantland. She still writes for the Ringer, I think, was writing about hockey. I think it's very simple. You have somebody write a hockey piece. then you talk about it on The Ringer. Now, you could frame the conversation as, you don't have to get into the weeds of hockey, but you do like a quarterly check and you're like, all right, it's a quarter, like we're at the All-Star break. Let's bring on our hockey writer. What are they talking about? What are they saying in their podcast? What's interesting? And yeah. You're not going to get everybody, and you can put it, you know, 25 minutes at the end of the podcast, and fine, you're good. That's all you need to do. But instead, there's just absolutely nothing. And yeah, I think you're totally right. It's a missed opportunity to bring in additional fans, whereas you would also get existing fans going like, okay, I barely follow hockey, or I'd follow a little bit. Like, yeah, I'm down to spend 20 minutes listening to, you know, 20 minutes of hockey for every couple months. I don't think that would be that much of a problem.
Yeah. And like, do you follow the Boston Bruins at all, or?
I do not. No, okay. I literally have zero idea what's going on in hockey right now.
Okay. So the Boston Bruins own the Toronto Maple Leafs. I hate the Boston Bruins. Like, literally, they're the franchise I hate the most. Fuck Boston. Nice. But the Leafs haven't beat them, the Toronto Maple Leafs, since 1959. And they played in a playoff series, and, you know, Boston went up 3-1, and then it became 3-3, and then Toronto sweeps. The city of Toronto is literally like, the team is going to blow itself up. It's like Boston has caused Toronto to lose its mind, basically. Their biggest rival. And if you listen, you know, Bill, Mr. Sport, Bill, you know, Boston sports guy, barely a mention of it, you know? So I don't know. It's like, I do admit that hockey is very niche. Like, our best, this 6'8" fighter was like was the biggest Twitter, like, interaction, making the biggest Twitter interactions for us as a guy who fights in hockey. So like, I do acknowledge there's a lack of like marketing behind the sport that the sport does and the league does. But, you know, to be a quote unquote sports network that also covers, you know, pop culture, you'd expect to bring it up. Stephen A has talked hockey. Stephen A, he knows nothing. It's like, honestly, hilarious to watch him talk about hockey. But like, at least, you know, at least he's covering it. So I don't know.
Yeah, that really is insane. If we're done with hockey, I want to move on to a different topic. Or do you have anything else to say?
No, I'm good.
Okay, so the next topic here is, I want to get into something you broached earlier, which is, you are, I would say, an atypical person, where you've got the love for sports and the love for music. Typically, it is one of the two. So maybe a little bit about how that happened for you, and then what you see in each of those segments of your life that makes it kind of funny that you have these two likes, but it's not very popular to have them together with the people that you know.
Yeah. So I grew up here. Like, literally, I think when I was born, I was given like Montreal Canadian hockey gloves. So I've been into sports since I was born. I learned how to skate when I was 2 or 3. So always been into hockey. My dad played hockey. My grandfather played hockey. My grandfather, my mom's side, played hockey. So it's all like, sports is always there. My dad was also a big musician, so those how both came in. The interesting thing about those things is, it depends on what genre of music you're in. In hip hop, a lot of cross-pollination. Like, hip hop and basketball are married. Hip hop and sports are really tight knit. But you go into jazz, R&B, more indie, alternative, it's really not a thing. And what's interesting is, you notice like a different mindset. When you talk with rappers, usually, in hip-hop artists, they follow basketball. So there's this athletic mindset of like the Michael Jordan thing of, well, I'm going to take everything personal. I'm going to go be the best. I'm going to really drive myself. Where when you talk with artists, I find, who work more in like non-hip-hop adjacent art forms, it's a little more hippity-dippity-ish, you know, kind of, hey, man, you know, it's cool, I love your shit. Where, like, in rap, you get this athletic mindset of, I am the best, I know I'm the best, and I'm going to show you why I'm the best. And so what I like is, because I follow sports, I kind of take that in my music. I use that as motivation. Like, how would an athlete approach being a musician? How would Kobe Bryant, the Michael Jordans, the LeBron James, the guys you hear of those insane worth ethics and who got to that level, how would they approach that if they were a musician? You know? That's where I use my the music and the sports to kind of motivate, like the cross path.
That's very interesting because, yeah, it is sort of that. It's that saying that all the rappers want to be basketball players and all the basketball players want to be rappers.
Though, let's be honest, you don't want to be a rapper. You're making way more money as a basketball player. Those contracts are insane.
Yeah, those contracts are insane, and they are about to get even more insane with this. I mean, the media deal is going to triple. I mean, we will be seeing 100 million plus annual contracts.
Do you want to know what the highest player in the NHL makes? 13.5, and that's like 2 million above anyone else.
Yeah, I was going to say like 10 because the NHL I'll sometimes see when I'm on ESPN, it's like 12-year, $80 million contract, which, $80 bucks is a lot of dough, but I think Jaylen Brown's going to be making $80 million in 1 year in a couple years.
It's like I'll look at the bottom of ESPN and it will be like, oh my God, who's the guy for the Mavericks? Short guard, not Jaylen something. I forget. But he signed a contract. It was like 3 years, $40 million. And I'm like, you're like the eighth man. You're the eighth man in the rotation, and you're making more than any hockey player in the world.
It's insane.
Bruce Brown, who plays in Toronto now, is making more than what the best player in hockey is making, who signed in Toronto, like the highest paid player in hockey. Slight side tangent, but it boggles my mind how much money is in the NBA.
And it's insane. And well, think about the NFL. I think it's going to get around $13 billion a year in TV money, whereas the NBA will get about seven, and the NBA has more games. But the NFL roster size versus the NBA roster size. Then you start to get into that, and you're like, oh my goodness, the top NBA players are going to be making so much more money. Now, NFL QBs get a lot of money, and that's been changing recently. So there is more money in the NFL for sure, but certainly the NBA guys are about to just get an insane amount. So but actually on this topic as well, do you listen to any music podcasts, whether that would be Ringer or other places?
So I do listen to two Ringer music podcasts. Dissect is now on the Ringer. That used to only be on, like, it was only on Spotify. It's this guy, Cole Kushner. He dissects like music really intently. He'll spend like a 40-minute episode based on like each song. And he's done, I think, 9 albums up to this point.
Wow. Anything, any popular artists the listeners might know?
Like he did Kendrick Lamar. He did Beyonce. He did Frank Ocean. I think he did a Childish Gambino record. He's doing MF Doom and Mad Villains album, Mad Libs album right now, which is like one of my favorites. So I'm listening to that. And then there's also Bandsplained, which is done by, oh my God, sorry. I forget her name. I can pull it up right now. I was probably listening to it like yesterday. it was, Yassi Salik. And it's basically like, the earlier pods were like an hour. Now they're like really long. Like she did one on Pearl Jam. It was 8 hours. It was in two parts. It was actually with Kevin Wilde, who used to be part of the Ringer. Is it Kevin? Kevin Clark. Oh my God. Clark,
okay. Yeah.
Blonde hair. You know, you forget stuff. But and it's like it really goes into each album and why they like them and the whole story. I really enjoy that. Non-Ringer ones, I do enjoy Broken Record with Malcolm Gladwell and Rick Rubin, who produced for like the Red Hot Chili Peppers, Slayer, yes. Eminem, Kanye, bunch of other artists. There's also
I'm a big Chili Peppers guy. So
what album?
Californication is my top.
Yeah, no, me it's probably Blood Sugar Sex Magic. I don't know. I'm a big
underrated now because it's so long ago, but that, yeah, I mean, I can listen to that all the way through. That's a total banger up and down.
though, like Scar Tissue, what a good song. Oh
yeah, Californication was the first album I bought, so
CD that, or vinyl
holds a special place in your heart.
Did you buy it on CD or vinyl?
CD, yeah, it was late 99 or early 2000. Had seen the Other Side music video, was on VH1 top 20 music videos for a while, loved it, and then went into like a fucking CD store and it's not there anymore. Looked through all the stuff and got it, but yeah, I'll always love that one. And then see the other thing about the Chili's too, if we're comparing them to NBA players here, it's like I thought their last two albums, which was not a double album, but they released they recorded the two albums in the same recording session, and then released two different albums with different vibes and covers and whatnot. But for all intents and purposes, let's say like the last two albums they released, I thought those were really good personally.
Yeah, well, they also got
some of their best work. So their longevity piece, I just love with them too.
Yeah, they've been I play guitar that I've been playing for 11 years now, and their guitarist Frusciante, who was like with them from I think like 89 to right after Stadium Arcadium, and then was on their last two albums, is like one of my, you know, when you put them out Rushmore, he's really close to there or part of it.
Oh yes.
So I haven't listened to them in its entirety, but I did check out some of the songs. I really fucked with it. I was like, you know what, I was just so happy they had him back in the band. Honestly, I really want to go see them live, because when I saw them live in 2016, they had a different guitarist, and I'm like, got to go see him with the OG lineup. Well, not the OG, but like the most famous lineup.
Yeah, nowhere near as good. Yeah, when I heard that he was coming back, I was so fucking pumped. I'm like, oh yes, dude, we need him back, because whenever they get together with him, they just make absolute magic. It's so good. So, and then I listened to, speaking of podcasts, I think it was like a Zane Lowe interview maybe, but I was listening to some pod with Anthony Kiedis recently, and I thought he had a really good explanation of why both it's really great when he comes back, but also he might only come back for a couple of albums and then he goes off again, because he's like, what'll happen is it's the four of us there with Ruben, and like everybody's fighting for their piece of the song to get in, or everybody's fighting for what they want their version to be. And he's like, it can get pretty heated, but we did it this time. We're like, we have five votes. You know, if anything, Ruben will be the tiebreaker. And, you know, sometimes you're just going to have to live with the fact that what you wanted in there is not going to be in there. So I'm just thinking to like, these guys are going at it with each other. Not that they're mad or angry at each other. They're just going at it in the pursuit of creating the best music possible. And I just, that to me, I just so respect and love that, that they're so passionate about their craft that yes, maybe they can get overboard sometimes, but like they're self-aware enough to get it. They realize it. They've tried to come up with solutions to figure it out, and they have, and they've just made great music recently and for 30 years.
Yeah. I think it also helps that they're probably a little older now, and, you know, like, cause you know, I'm in my 20s, you know, we're a little, and at that age, you're a little dumb. So like, I'm sure when they were in their 20s and like, you know, being real famous, I'm sure they were a little less polite, but yeah, no, it's, yes. I'm just happy to honestly see them be back together. You know, there's not like, I make hip hop, but like I grew up on hard rock and rock and roll. Behind me, I have a giant Grateful Dead poster. So I'm like, you know, big psych rock fan. I love that. I love Jimi Hendrix. I loved really big Van Halen phase right now. I've been listening to like a lot of Van Halen weirdly. But, you know, so it's just a lot of those bands, like the Chili Peppers were there in the 90s, but The 90s are surprisingly further away than like I think I realize, you know, like Californication is 25 years old now.
Yeah, 99. Yeah.
Like, Jesus, you know, so I'm just happy you're together, because it's like, you know, there's not a lot of. I'd say like, sorry for hitting the microphone, like pre 2000s classic rock bands left. It's like you got Pearl Jam, You got the Chili Peppers, the Stones still tour, U2. But like the number of active, you know, dad rock, classic rock bands aren't, there's not that many left.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm, maybe it shouldn't be all time, but since, let's call it the last 3.5 decades to use Bill Simmons here, I'm putting the Red Hot Chili Peppers on the Mount Rushmore of rock bands since then.
Yeah, no, I'm Metallica, probably them, Nirvana.
Yeah, people could put it there, but I mean, like, I mean, from my perspective, the longevity piece.
Yeah, I'm, no, honestly, yeah. I'm like, because to me, you have four in Mount Rushmore. I'm like, I don't agree with you. Like, the Chili Peppers are there. I think it's like your locks are the Chili Peppers, Metallica, Nirvana. And it's like, what other band has been as successful since the early 90s?
Yeah, you could potentially say Pearl Jam or Foo Fighters, maybe U2, but I don't know about any of those.
U2, 80s mostly. Even Metallica, mostly 80s. No, you actually bring, like, yeah, no, you bring up a really good point. The Chili Peppers are really, like, up there.
So yeah, think, and I'm like, picking the date that benefits them, obviously, because Blood Sugar Magic came out in the early 90s, but yeah.
But they all, like, also they translate to my generation. Like, Pearl Jam, not as much. You know, I don't have a lot of kids my age going, even flow, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
A lot, you know, most people my age, no Californication, no scar tissue, no snow, no Under the Bridge. Like, we all know the classy Chili Peppers songs because it's kind of when we grew up. So, yeah, no, they're the one of the biggest band, one of the biggest like alternative rock bands, I guess, if you want to call them that, to do it.
Yeah, and I think a good mark of a band is everybody's kind of got their favorite song and favorite album, because like my favorite song ever, but certainly off Californication, is Other Side. Okay, I like Scar Tissue too, but like Other Side to me is my favorite song ever. Love that song. But like, you talk to Chili Peppers fans, they'll go, "Oh, Californication was my favorite album. Oh, Stadium Arcadium is my favorite. Oh, Blood Sex Sugar Magic is my favorite." When you have three albums that are up there, I mean, that's pretty incredible. I mean, by the way, I don't think people would say it as much, but I mean, I'm sure some people would. And then I've even, like, I thought that the most recent albums, they really incorporated a lot of the fun sounds that we loved from the past several decades, and then incorporated some new sounds too, to where if somebody said those were their favorite albums, I wouldn't hate that too. They easily could be. So that, to me, that's the mark of a great band, as opposed to, you know, hey, you were one album hit, and then from there you kind of had some stuff. But like, no, I think the longevity factor here, it really, really helps them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, there's not many bands that, well, the Stones, obviously, the Rolling Stones have obviously been going at it since like 1962 or 61. But yeah, though, like, I don't know. I'm a solo musician. Like, I can barely deal with other people. Like, I'm, you know, I'll do everything myself. So being stuck with the same musicians for 35 years, like, God bless you, man. I would have lost my mind a long time ago.
Yes. Yeah, seriously. So let's get into that then. Let's, anything else you want to talk about Bill Simmons related before talking about your own music?
I don't know. If you want, we could go into the Rosillo Bill thing if you're interested.
Okay. That was the one topic. Okay. So we'll talk a little Rosillo Bill, and then I want to give you time to, discuss how you got into your music and what you're doing. Yeah. So briefly on Rosillo and Bill. Yeah. I mean, so you're saying that you're listening to more Rosillo now.
Yeah, I like the guests better. Like, I find there's more interesting guests. You know, he'll be like, "Oh, I interviewed this rapper. I got this guy to come on. I got this," you know, him and his history. I study history in school, so I like it. But he'll like talk about history and all that. Where Bill, it's like, I like Van Leighton, but like, I'm forgetting some of the guys, but some of them, man, I literally can forget their names. It's just so boring. Like, I used to like Kevin O'Connor, cannot deal with him anymore.
You're not alone. That sentiment has been shared in the
Yeah, I did see that in the on your Twitter account. I was like, oh, not the only one. But yeah, like, I just find the lack of like guests. You know, when I did my deep dive and started listening to some of the older Bill Simmons thing. I was like, wait, he has David Stern on his first episode? Like, if I'm correct, David Stern was one of his first podcast guests?
Absolutely. I mean, yeah. I mean, it was major. Incredible.
Yeah, and now I listen to him. I'm like, how, like, you know? I thought he, like, I don't know. I find the guest choices there aren't there. And then, like, I really love Life Advice. I like Kyle. I like Cerruti. And I just, like putting it on. It's funny. You know, I get some good stories. You know, the dynamics there. And I find with Bill, it's just, like, there's... I kind of like this, like, separate thing from sports. Just kind of, like, different. I'm not a big fan of Parent Corner with...
oh, man, yeah.
What's the guy's... Oh, my God.
Was it Spell?
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, my memory's a little bad. But yeah, no, like, I honestly, I find the cousin, I kind of skip most of the Cousin Sal pods. I don't bet. So, like, guest aligns is just so boring.
Yeah, that makes sense. And no, guest aligns, I don't bet, but I like, and I've said this before in the pod, but I mean, I like it as like an intellectual pursuit in terms of trying to find the right line. But yeah, it's terrible now. It's so much worse than it used to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, I much rather hear. I don't know, talk about the sport. I don't care about, oh, if I bet $10, I'm going to make 15. Like, I know he's because he's sponsored by like a gambling company. I forget which. I see so many gambling ads with sports. I literally, I'm like brain numb to it. But yeah, I don't know. I just don't find the guests are there. I find Russillo also, like, clearly Russillo grinds tape on the couch. But, you know, like he watches the stuff more. He's clearly more invested. I feel like I'm getting a guy who, like, actually is watching what I'm doing versus Bill, which feels a little more like reactionary guy on your radio station.
As we have seen over the past, I mean, it's been a colossal joke, some of these takes that he's been putting up there. So,
yeah.
So I will say that you are absolutely not alone. A lot of people come on this podcast and say they're feeling Russillo. I've tweeted this out before, and I think it's true that for a lot of people, Russillo has market-corrected Bill in terms of listening. They're listening to more Russillo. And then my final point on that is that – so if I go into my podcast on Apple Podcasts, and for anybody who has Apple Podcasts, you'll know this, but if you go to the podcast, you can then see – what podcasts are then recommended for you. So interestingly enough, the you might also like section, Russillo pops up first and then Bill. So isn't that interesting that the R. Bill Simmons podcast, for whatever reason, whatever algo they're putting out there, I don't know what it is. I won't ever know what it is, most likely. Whatever algo it is, it's saying that the number one podcast that the R. Bill Simmons podcast listeners might also like is not the Bill Simmons podcast. It's the Ryan Russillo podcast. I just find that fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. He also had, he used to have, wasn't he putting out his old interviews?
He was. Yeah. That
I like those.
Search him. Yeah.
Those I was checking out. He interviewed Freddie Gibbs. I'm a big Freddie Gibbs fan. So I was like, oh, this is so cool. But like a lot of like, I just find a lot of the content to be like kind of a little mailed in sometimes.
I mean, you certainly wouldn't be one there.
To be fair, I like fall asleep to the podcast half the time. Like I put it on when I go to bed. So I'm not really missing much, you know?
No, I don't think you are. And it's funny you say that because I'll talk to people and they're and I'm like, dude, how are you fucking listening to every single episode of Bill, but then also you're listening to PMT and also you're listening to this? And they're like, oh, I just like throw it on while I'm working all day. Yeah. So like I'm in my office job. I put on I have podcasts going all day. So that's like, okay, now I get it. You just like Bill because he's a nice sound in the background that you're used to and you're barely even paying attention to it.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm like that, and some other times, like sometimes I listen, I'm like, I can't even finish the podcast. Like this is just, it's boring.
Yeah, no, I think.
And especially now, like there's so many. Like everyone has a podcast. Like it's so like you have to compete. like we're talking about the NBA and competing for that time. Same thing with a podcast. You got to like, you know, I probably listen to more podcasts than I actually watch NBA basketball because I'm usually working at night, you know?
Yeah. Well, somebody was, I in the sub today in the comment that, so, or somebody posted that, oh, someone has been sending me the Arbo Simmons podcast tweets or things from the sub, which is funny. And then somebody was like, oh, you know, why are you recording a podcast about a podcast, whatever. And then you're like, oh, what a loser or something, like, whatever. I responded with the facts and I said, I have 1,000 followers and I'm getting 1,500 plays an episode. So people like this kind of content.
Clearly it's resonating with somebody.
Clearly. And then the person tries to like, again, poo-poo me. It's like, oh, that's a tiny fraction of Bill's listeners. Let me set you straight. I'm not going to say asshole because I don't need to say that, but let me set you straight, fellow Redditor. Growing a podcast in 2024 to 1,000 followers and 1,500 plays per episode, that took some hard work, all right? So I don't want to hear it that this podcast is unsuccessful or anything because I started from no followers, no plays. So I don't want to hear it. But I just bring that up because you're so right. Everybody has a fucking every fucking buddy has a podcast right now.
No.
And I'm contributing to it, to be fair. But
it makes you enjoy doing it, right? That's what counts.
You have to compete for the audience.
Yeah.
And you have to bring your A game. And if you boil down this particular podcast into like the essence, you boil it down, it's that Bill Simmons in 2024 is not bringing his A game, but is still acting like he's bringing his A game. And that's what ultimately drives me to do this podcast and do the Reddit account.
He's like an artist who's kind of past their peak and just putting out mid albums.
Yeah, he's like U2. He's the U2 of music. Or he's the U2 of podcasting.
Honestly, like, I haven't listened to any U2 album past Actun Baby.
Well, I think that explains it right there.
Yeah. Well, I'm also like their producer. I love their producer, Brian Eno and Daniel Lanois. So I was like, oh, and then they left. So I was like, I don't need to listen to any of this shit. But yeah, and it's like, but the difference with podcasting is it's harder to find your old episode. It's not like you can go and be like, oh, here's like a list of all Bill's best podcasts. Let me throw on some like bangers. You know, like I have to scroll through how many podcasts before I like find some of the classic ones, unless I go into his, like his interview where I search on YouTube.
Yeah, he doesn't have like a best of or anything. I mean, yeah. Again, like he had the interviews, but I'm not sure. Yeah.
You know, so I don't know. I think that's like, you know, not everyone stays at their peak for a while, you know?
No. And look, I'm here to chronicle it and call it out. So
yeah,
that's what I've been doing. But man, you've been gracious with your time. And because you created such great music for this podcast, I don't want to let you go before. Give us your story, man. Like, how did you get into it? What's inspired you? Just, you know, where everybody can find you, what the style is, what you got, future plans. Can we see you if there's Canadian listeners in person performing? Like, give us all the deets, man.
So I'll start at the beginning. My dad is like a massive Rolling Stones fan, like massive, like insane. Like I grew up knowing too much about the Rolling Stones. So music was always like a very big part of my life. I have like very young memories of like watching live concerts and all that. So when I went to a private high school. So it was like a little weird, but I had a couple kids who played guitar. So I wanted a guitar. And then my parents and grade 7, I got a guitar for Christmas. Didn't touch it. Didn't care for it. A year later, for some reason, I'm like, I'm going to learn a song. And my dad had learned two songs on the guitar. So he was like, I'll teach you these. Taught me those two songs. And then it's like, you know, here I am 11, 12 years later. I have like too many guitars. I have a studio. I record. So I got really into like progressively throughout high school, I really got into music. It started off with like Rolling Stones, Cream, the Allman Brothers, Hendrix, Ozzy Osbourne, a little bit of Van Halen, a lot of like 80s metal music, weirdly enough, like Motley Crue and like all that like cringe 80s stuff I got into. then it was, then I got into newer stuff like the Strokes and the Red Hot Chili Peppers and all that. And as I got out of high school, I started getting into like Kendrick Lamar, J. Cole. I got into Tribe Called Quest. I got into MF Doom. Then it was like Madlib, J. Dilla. And then I got really deep into hip hop. So I got really into like underground hip hop. I don't know if you know who Griselda is.
I do not.
They're like a hip hop collective from Buffalo. It's like newish music. They've been making music since the mid 2010s, but it's very like old school East Coast hip hop, like grimy beats. I love that. I really got into that. I started getting to those producers in the last year. So that really made me like, I got really big into beat making. So I bought an NPC. I bought beat making. I have like 500. I have a bunch of vinyl here. So I got a bunch. I really got into vinyl. So it like, it really got crazy. Now I live in my recording studio. I'm here with like my guitars, my synthesizers, my keyboards, my drum kit, my bass, my records. And it's just kind of like, I make whatever inspires me. Currently, I've been doing a lot of hip hop. I'm actually producing a hip hop album from two artists. One, both are from Montreal. One's an Indigenous artist called Existence, and the other one's he's from Montreal, but his parents are Jamaican. He's called Jordan Eric. He's doing more like newer rap, and I'm helping produce his album. Producing for some other artists. I'm also doing a movie score, which I'm really excited for because I get to like orchestrate strings and play classical guitar and do more music key stuff than like making a beat on my laptop, which I'm very excited for. And I kind of got lost track in my thought.
No, this is I love hearing that path. That's awesome, man.
So yeah, now I'm working on an EP for myself. So it's kind of on the back burner just because I'm like, music's how I work. So if I have to put my clients' work first.
Sure.
I need to live, need to make money. But so I'm working on an EP. I just dropped an EP with this artist also from Montreal called Prey. It's called Coach's Corner. It's a reference to Don Cherry, who was a hockey commentator in Canada. So it's like references hockey. I dropped a song and a couple of remixes with another artist I'm working with, Jordan Eric. I actually produced for an artist in Arkansas, out of any place in the world. And his name's like Tylo. He runs a fashion brand and all that called Mintwave. It's really cool and interesting.
Now, can I stop you for a second and ask, how are people noticing you and you linking up with them?
In person or Instagram? I need to like move on TikTok, but like Instagram's where a lot of like I've gotten my business, or in person, you know. Going out DJing events or playing guitar. You know, I travel a lot because since I do music, I can kind of travel a lot and I like to reinvest it. Like I'm hoping to go down to Miami for a couple of weeks and work with some artists from down there, you know, because especially with the music industry, you can stay in your city, but I can work with anyone. You know, I'm really hoping to work with artists in France because I'm French. Well, half my family's French. So I speak French and all that. So I'm hoping to, you know, branch out, because anyone can sing on any kind of music basically. So it's like, you're not really limited to the people in your city. So I'm hoping to like branch out and kind of start working with people around the world.
That's awesome, man. I am so pumped to hear that, because I only knew you from the music that you put out, which I'll definitely include. Well, what I want to do is I want to include your music, and then we'll talk after the pod about, I'd love to include the links to some of the people that you just talked about that you're producing for, to put that in the podcast description, because I think people would love to hear that. But the reason that, I knew you because you reached out, but like the music that you've put out is fantastic. I've listened to that, and I've referenced, because we were talking about what we'd want for the intro song. And I originally said something similar to Bill's BS Report original song from 2007, but obviously it has to be different enough, right?
Yeah.
And then I listened to some of the stuff that you had put out, and I gave you a couple songs. I'm like, hey, I like this song. I like this song. Maybe we could do something like that. And then you just kind of melded together all that into one and had this amazing intro song complete with the place for the quote, which we can
update.
Yeah, we can update at some point if we want to. So there's a few out there that we might be doing that for. But yeah, dude, I'm super pumped that you're having so much success in the music biz. And I think for everybody listening, if you enjoyed this pod, and certainly if you enjoy the intro music, yeah, I'll put all that stuff in the episode description. Check out those links.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I actually originally was gonna do I wanted to do like the Pearl Jam one, you know, guitar. So I was gonna go, oh, I can do that. And you're like, oh, so I was like, oh, kind of like a different than what I thought, but it honestly challenged me, which was nice because like I kind of like doing stuff that makes me out of my comfort zone in music. It kind of teaches you new ways to approach it. So I was like, I honestly, when you brought that, it took me for a loop, but a really good loop.
Well, people absolutely love it. Like I've been telling you both on and off the air. I mean, I just get random DMs. People are like, yo, dude, the fucking intro song is a banger. And I'm like, yes. I'm like, I'm so happy that I have it. So, big thanks to you, man, for the song. Big thanks for you coming on.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Thank you so much.
Would love to have you back on when maybe if there's a big hockey story, maybe have to have you on for that one. Especially if it was involving Boston. So I'll keep that in mind. But
yeah, my arch rivals.
Anything else we need to hit on before we go?
Honestly, I'm good. If you want, you can check me out on Spotify, Apple Music, Tidal, YouTube, whatever you use to stream music. It's Wiser Times. I also have Instagram. I have Twitter, X, TikTok. I have all the platforms because I can't be an artist in this day and age without having them.
And is that Wiser Times one word, two word? How is that?
It's Wiser Times _ on Instagram.
Wiser Time. Okay, so check that out. And then if you search Wiser Times on Spotify, like I come up. Or there's you come up. Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
So search Wiser Times two words on Spotify.
Yeah, just that. You'll find me. I have three albums out and a couple of EPs and some singles.
All right, awesome, man. Well, yeah. Dude, I had a blast.
Thank you so much, Tribe. It was so appreciated.
Yeah, I had a blast doing this. Thanks for coming on. I think people will love this one. And then for the listeners out there, I mean, you guys have been following the Twitter account. I mean, the world of Bill Simmons is hot right now. He is going viral for all this stuff. I'm trying to draft behind it. It's been fun. And more episodes are on the way for sure. But I know that I will be doing a solo pod at some point soon about the NBA rights deal. I don't know when I will do that, but that's definitely coming out. So be on the lookout for that one. And then, we'll have on more guests like the one we had on tonight. But major thank you, man. Appreciate you taking thank time you. Out of your night to do this. And until next time, for you and the fans out there. All right. Cheers, everybody.